Warning, the following program is a collection of idiots talking about the happenings in the sports entertainment world. It is meant to be comedically informative. The opinions expressed on this show does not necessarily reflect the beliefs of their peers, their bosses, or the Infinite Plus Network. There may be some out-of-pocket things said on this show, because this is how we talk to each other. If you are young, please seek permission before watching any further. Your homies, the Three Count Podcast. P.S. Please don't sue us.
Welcome to the Villains Lounge.
Ladies and gentlemen, and I would like to say boys and girls, but obviously after you just heard that, get your parents' permission. I am the Three Counts resident supervillain, the Dark Lord himself, the Dark Goat. And I want to welcome you guys to the Villains Lounge, and I got some friends with me. So, this is an interesting episode. A very interesting episode, because as you saw, the disclaimer in the beginning. And I guess we're going to chat about that real quick before we get into the news. So let me introduce my boy Red Dog. I appreciate you.
Thank you. What up? Here.
And also, of course, the one and only Twitch Graves. it's my fault. Okay. He's blaming me for the disclaimer. So I guess let's talk about the disclaimer in the room, so to speak.
Yeah, let's do let's talk about why we have a disclaimer now for the Three Count Podcast. Because I feel like we have a lot of people who are here now to figure out why we have this thing happening at the beginning of we're gonna try to put it at every one of our episodes, but I promise you it's not gonna happen. We're gonna try our best.
Yeah,
so you know, we tend to say some things out of pocket. By the way, just in case people are trying to figure out, we are live on Facebook, we are live on YouTube, we are live on Twitch, we are live on X, and by the way, we are live on the reason why we have a disclaimer, the Infinite Plus Network too.
Yes, you.
If you guys paid attention to Sunday's episode, Chaz refer to somebody by a different title, and because of that, now we have a disclaimer. Hi, we know you're watching, and we don't care about your SoundCloud rappers or your other movie that's going on where the couple falls in love at the end. We don't really care, so we're just here to interrupt your show. So it is what it is. But yeah, so we now have a disclaimer to let you guys know that this is supposed to be comedically informative. It's not supposed to be all, you know, like serious and stuff. So if you take anything that we say on this show like to heart, it is now officially on you, because we've told you now at the beginning of the show that this wasn't it.
Exactly. So like, I mean, come on, like, you know, you see how we are, and the hilarious part is the funny part is we're toned down. Yeah. And we talk to each other in person.
Oh yeah.
It's way worse.
Oh yeah.
So y'all just getting that little tidbit of it, but we figured we should be the responsible ones to let y'all know that if you get butt hurt, you get butt hurt. So it is what it is.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I don't want to pull any executive power here. I'm just saying that, you know, it is what it is.
It just is what it is. And so that's the reason for the disclaimer. It'll be on the Villains Lounge. It'll be on Chaz and Friends. I don't really think we need to do it for now, entering the ring.
There's one for it, though.
If we do it. You're getting warned. You've been warned. So be a good parent. Don't let your kids sneak and watch it or listen. Yeah. And if you do, it's on you. Just remember that. On you, world. You. So, now that we got that, you know, we got that out of the way, we're going to go right into the news, and I'm going to start with some TNA signings. Re-signing of Ace Austin. which is good. That's good for them. I'm happy that they were able to, you know, pick him back up because
it's always his fault. Always.
It probably is. It probably is. It probably is.
and then of course there's Chaz.
Yeah, well, he makes a valid point though.
He does. He does. Who wants to watch a serious wrestling podcast anyway? Nobody.
Exactly. So
what is hell?
Exactly. So yeah, Ace Austin's re-signing with TNA, so that's good. That means him and Chris Bay will be able to continue ABC, which, you know, I love them as a tag team. So you know, good for you, TNA, since we know that they're not really signing to people to long-term contracts and stuff like that. So they're kind of doing some people's show by, like, you know, show by show basis and stuff like that. So that's cool that he was able to, you know, get a new contract. And also AJ Francis has signed a deal with TNA for the remainder of 2024.
That's a long-term deal.
That's really short.
I mean,
so it's just for 2024. It doesn't go into 2025 at all.
Nope, it's just through 2024.
Interesting.
Which I guess that's just basically that fail-out process to let him finish doing what he's doing right at the moment.
Yeah, yeah.
So I mean, I know he can still go out and do stuff. So good for you, AJ.
Yeah.
Good for you.
We love AJ Francis. That man is.
Yeah, no, AJ's a cool dude. He seems like a very, very cool dude.
Good guy.
Cool, treasure.
So I'm gonna go on into. Podcast. I do too. Come on on. Watch.
Yeah.
Come on. Come on, AJ.
Come chat it up with us.
Yeah. We love it.
Don't worry. We don't have anybody. We, aside from the people who are over us, we don't have anybody over us.
That is true. That is true. That is true. I gotta blow my nose. And then MJ, yeah. Oop. I gotta blow my nose. Darn
fool. What's up, sir? Yeah, MJF is you know, they're talking about his condition and how he's coming along. It's been kind of interesting to see.
Yeah, I hear that. I'm not sure. Did he have surgery? Or is he doing that recovery thing where he's like doing was it physical therapy? So he's doing PT?
Yeah, I think he's just doing physical. Yeah, I think he's just doing PT.
Okay. All right. But that's good. That's good to know that he doesn't have to go through surgery. So I mean, that's a plus. I mean, well, he's been grinding for a couple of years now, just back to back.
Shout out to Pure Ignorance. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Let's go. Here we go.
So that's good to hear. There's no word on his return to the in ring. You know they're going to keep that on the hush hush. They're not going to do that. So, and it makes sense. It makes sense. So that will bring me into some WWE news.
What up, gents?
And what'd it do? And so it looks like Seth Rollins and CM Punk are actually getting along backstage.
They should.
It's business. But, I mean, considering you figure what, that, like, Rollins didn't really care for Punk, the fact that he can put aside his personal differences and do business. I wish three other people could have done that.
I'm hurt. I'm tired. And I work with fucking children.
And then Punk was part of probably one of the greatest segments in Raw history.
Oh, my God.
It did 2.2 million views for the 9 o'clock hour.
Damn.
Just that, like, that 19-minute promo. With Seth, Drew, Punk, and a little bit of McAfee in the background for the people at home. So, and it was like probably one of the most watched quarter hours in the show history in a while. I know it was like one of the highest rated shows on Cage Seats, I want to say. Yeah. It's like in the top 15 of all shows wrestling, period, including pay-per-views, specials, and shit like that. But if you take those away, it's number one.
Nice.
So Raw kicked ass this past week, which now we're going to, I guess, let's go into the Raw review.
Let's do.
Let's talk about the Raw review. What? Raw kicked off, and I am looking at the wrong one. Hold on. No, let this happen. Didn't this happen last week?
This happened last week, yeah.
I'm pretty sure it happened last week. Yeah. I'm pretty sure it happened last week. Whoop, the 25th, right?
Yeah, definitely the 25th. Raw was definitely fire. It definitely was.
It was.
Raw opened up with Cody Rhodes.
I'm just here to show the Rock. Rock is that.
Yep. Yeah. It
opened Thank up you, with Gordo.
It opened up with Cody and The Rock. Cody spitting venom. Talking about, you know, talking about his main event, talking about The Rock. Really, really talking that fly shit about The Rock. Then Rock came out basically when he mentioned the final boss. And it was a surprise because nobody was expecting him. And didn't say a word into a microphone, but whispered to Cody something ominous. And you know the funny part about that is it was one of those situations where I was like, oh, this is not going to turn out good at all. Like, I just, you just had that bad feeling, like, something shiesty getting ready to happen. Because when have you known The Rock to come out there and not say anything?
Yeah.
To keep his mouth shut.
Over openly. He is very vocal about what he has to say, so this was a little awkward to see.
Yeah, that's what I said. It felt like a setup. I ain't gonna lie to you. And maybe, look, maybe it's like the Baltimore, Maryland in me, but it felt like a setup.
Definitely was. And then even like when he whispered over to him too, I felt like it was just like the like I liked pretending like to just fill in the words. Like
right.
He was just like, "Fuck your story."
Yeah. This is the time where I've watched this clip so many times that I wish I could read people's lips,
right?
Just so I know what he said, like
exactly what he said. I feel like he said more than "I'm gonna make you bleed."
Yeah, he was definitely like, "You're still a mistake.
Your mama don't like you.
You were adopted."
And this segment was really good, though.
Pharaoh isn't your real dog.
I know the truth.
So, we get to the first match, which, I ain't gonna lie, I've seen them wrestle each other a couple of times, but why was this match so much better than any match that they've done? So we get Ricochet versus JD McDonagh.
This was good for no reason.
Right? Dude, like the pop-up Canadian Destroyer.
Yes.
I had to rewind it. Like, I turned away and I missed it. And all I saw was my wife's face, like, just jaw drop. And like, did you see that? I was like, what? Rewind it. I was like, I had to rewind it twice. Because, like, I didn't believe what I saw the first time. And then, of course, the replay. But I give this one 4. Like, hands down.
I gave this a solid 3.5, 4, yeah.
Dude, the Prince standing Puma, shooting star press.
The Prince Puma reference won me over for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was pretty dope. That was really, really good. This Raw was very, very promo heavy, but in a great way.
Facts.
I don't know what it is. It was just, I don't know. It almost felt like a go home. I ain't going to lie to you. It almost felt like a go home.
Yeah.
So then I believe we get that infamous promo that we were talking about earlier. I believe that was.
Oh, by the way, I gave out 4 axe handles, by the way.
Yeah. No, it's definitely 4. Like, solid 4. It's definitely, if you didn't see that match, go back and watch it. Like, it's worth it. So then, yeah, we get CM Punk returning. It was announced that he was going to be returning to Monday Night Raw. And this is also good for no reason. It was amazing for no reason. It was like perfect. Even with the little stutterings and mistakes and going, it was all over the place, but in a good way. Like, from beginning to end, Punk coming out there, the way he called Drew out. Drew just being a dick and refusing.
Bruh, when he's like, I'm the chosen one. He's like, say the name of the person who gave you that.
Dude, I died. And also heard he got no heat from that, actually.
I mean, yeah, I heard that in the background. I heard in the back there was like a real hush.
Yeah.
We're all waiting to see if he was gonna say his name.
Like, please don't say his name. Please don't say his name, Monet. Please don't. And Drew's face when he said say who was it again? Was priceless. The reference to Jim Cornette.
Yeah.
Punk being a drive-through experience guy. I mean, I agree. I listen to both too. So I listen to both. That was a nice nod. Twitter lost their fucking mind.
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah. Oh no, they lost their ever loving mind.
They beat up Seth. They can't help Cody. He loses to Damian.
Okay.
Cody still wins day two with the help of Goldust. But Goldust is not available. He is
no, and I don't see Tony and Trips getting along long enough to make it happen.
This would be the one time that I wish those two would, though.
Mm. Facts. But Tony ain't gonna let that happen. Tony is really angry right now.
Hildrew is fucking awesome. Been loving what he's been doing.
Yeah, same here. Ever since, mm-hmm. yeah, like ever. I was like, what? Ever since the end of the last year.
Yeah,
he's just been on this tear. Promos, the attitude. No, he won't do that. Promo. I thought the promo was perfect from beginning to end. It gets a 5 for me.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
5 hands down. All 3 men delivered. Excellent. One of my other favorite parts, and it's small. Seth was basically like, you know, basically want to hear him talk, and Punk was like, nope. When's the last time we heard somebody say no? Somebody wanting to say something.
See, for me, it was Drew saying, you know, you don't drink and you don't do drugs, but you spend an awful lot of time in rehab.
Great. That popped the shit out of me too. So it was all around great segment. So then we get into Candice LeRae versus Ivy Nile, which was also really good too. Considering that it was after that crazy ass promo segment, it was in a great spot to kind of bring the crowd back into wrestling.
Yep.
Ivy now is getting so much better every time she's in that ring, dude. I got to give it to her. I remember when she first started in NXT, and I can't remember who she wrestled her first match. It was a little wonky, but it was like every time she steps in that ring, dude, she's getting better.
She got a little more confident.
Yeah. So,
I love this Candice LeRae.
Oh, dude, I'm loving this Candice LeRae. And then Indy Hartwell out there wearing all black, not knowing what to do. Not sure what she would do, getting ready to attack, not attack. So it's a great play on their dynamic as a team.
Yeah.
With like Candace, like, look, I've been doing this forever. Trust me, follow my lead. And I don't know. I don't want to be a dick. So I thought it was greatly played. I give this one like a solid 3. Just like all around.
3.5.
Because this story, I was going to give it 3.5 too, but I'm going to give it 3. Because it's just solid all around. I thought, like,
yeah, I'm stuck around 3, 3.5.
And so, this next segment / match, because I definitely have to say it's a segment because R-Truth was in it. You got DIY versus The New Day. It ended in a no contest when Judgment Day came out and like beat down DIY. And New Day, and you got Miz and R-Truth on commentary. They're watching. Miz finally gets fed up and goes to go help and gets added to the beatdown. Like, he fights off a little bit. Numbers overwhelm him. Why the whole entire time R-Truth was like, I'm off. I'm commentary.
Go to commercial break
was my favorite one. Go to commercial break. This man is a gem. Like, he's a national treasure.
He had me dying. And then it was even great because it's like, you can see he's like, man, y'all gonna make me fight. So he starts to fight him off. And then, of course, numbers game. Gets the best of him. He gets laid out by Priest. And as it should be, like, the champs need to look strong. Because we know they're going to lose probably to the Awesome Truth. So, yeah, this one gets 4.5 for me just because of R-Truth. Like, I'm sorry. Like, the match itself was great. But just the added that onto it, it's a 4.5, like, hands down. It was great.
I'm gonna give it a 4.
I'm with Cliff on this. I'm gonna give it a 4. I would like to see these two go at it with no interference.
That'd be nice.
Yeah,
that would be nice. So then we get into Andrade versus Giovanni Vinci.
Everything R-Truth does is gold. Absolutely.
Yes, it is. Oh, hands down.
He is truly a talent. Love that guy.
So Andrade defeats Giovanni. He was a replacement for Ivar. Ivar wasn't clear to wrestle. I don't know all the information on, his injury. I'm not sure if it happened on Raw last week or a house show or something like that, but they're taking safety measures, as they should.
As they should.
And so Ivar got replaced by Giovanni, and it was probably a really great fucking replacement because this match was also better than it needed to be.
It really was. This just, in my opinion, shows that Andrade is just such a talented dude.
Oh, that smile on his face. He's happy.
Yeah.
He'll be happier when Charlotte gets back. But, I mean, you could tell. You can tell that he was happy. He unveiled a new finisher, I believe.
Yeah.
It's basically like a double underhook neckbreaker, looks like. Something like that. Impressive. Definitely impressive. Both men were impressive. I'm giving this a 3.5. For me, I enjoyed every moment of it. I'd like to see him wrestle again.
I'm at a 3 on this one. I want to see more of Giovanni Vinci.
Oh, yeah, hands down. Dude, NXT was killing it.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Cruiserweight Classic, he killed it.
Now he just...
I've been a fan since then.
Yeah, so, and I'd give it a 3. I want to see more of Andrade, actually, to be fair. It's weird, man, because Andrade is like, to see him back, like you said, like he had a little swag, like he just had like just that happiness in his face. You could see that he's excited to like be back in this whole thing. And it's like cool. Now where we go, because like I know we had like the Judgment Day thing that's kind of like happening. You know, where are we going from here? What are we
That'd
doing?
Be interesting. Him in Judgment Day?
Yeah.
That'd be very interesting. So then we get my favorite piece of shit ever. It seems like in the past, like, 15, 20 years, Dirty Dom comes out with Mommy to talk some trash, and then out comes the man Becky Lynch to... hype up WrestleMania. And they talking that fly shit back and forth. And the punch around the world happened.
Facts.
You're right. It was used by... that's why I was wondering where I saw that from. I know he's not using it anymore. But you're right. I've seen Dawkins do that. Or at least something very similar. I know it's like very, very, very similar. But, Becky, because I'm looking at it right now, I have a clear picture of Becky just like giving Dom the hands. He sold the shit out of that.
Yo, his face, and he's like,
that slow motion clip of his face, just it's beautiful. The way Rhea Ripley came out talking about how she feels like she's not getting enough attention with the current lost streak of JD and Dom, I really thought that she was about to beat the shit out of JD out of Dominic.
I thought so too, but I mean that's her Dom. So she's not probably gonna beat on him no time soon. But dude, he sold the shit out of that punch, and then he got beat up some more. It was great. It segment was great. It was definitely a solid 3.5 for me. This show, like I said, period, was great. I watched it, and then 3 hours went by, and I was like, oh shit, already over. Like, it's been a long time since I've watched Raw when I'm like, you know, I could have dealt with an extra 15 minutes.
This was just, this whole show was just one great thing right after another. Like,
right. We also, we got a backstage segment like during the night with Sami Zayn and,
hold on really quick, man. Look at this. Amazing how Dom's popularity has increased by turning him heel. Yeah, crazy. You know who started that? Rey fucking Mysterio.
Yeah,
Daddy started that.
He got his son over. As he should.
Y'all need to pay attention to Sunday's show. If you guys don't know, now you know.
Yeah, right. Well, the man got booed at his own wedding.
He did.
Don't wedding.
Dom has been killing it. Yeah, like,
so here we go.
Yeah, everybody here. Oh Lord, here we go.
So yeah, we had that backstage segment between Sammy and Gable. Gable trying to like basically tell Sammy, yo, bruh, like you going at this the wrong way. You need to get your head in the game. I promise you. And what happens? He lets Gunther get in his head and a tsunami. Match was great. Bronson Reed, I love that man. I'm happy that he came back.
I forgot he knew how to win.
Dude, I mean, I get it, but it's just because every time he's in the ring, he's impressive.
He really is.
The way he just glides off that top rope and that fluid motion, like most people are perching. This man puts one foot up and it's just one fluid, solid motion. I'm scared to take splashes from somebody that big. Thanks to somebody giving me a back Santon in like 2000 and like,
oh, 13, man.
14.
That was bad.
I'm being serious. That has scarred me for life.
I remember
shattered that. Shattered collarbone, and I have to have surgery because of it still. But I take it from him.
It looks
like butter. So Bronson picks up that victory. I want to say because of the way that the story interweaves in that, I'm going to have to get it a solid 3.5, maybe 4. Just because it was really cool to see, like, because I thought Sammy had that one. I thought he had that one in the bag. And the fact that they let Bronson get the W was fucking cool.
I'm not mad that Bronson got the W. I like that Gunther has been like a fly at a barbecue for Sami Zayn, coming out during just about all of his matches and just trashing him.
Right.
The story development with this definitely made me give it a 4.
Yeah. So, and then I believe after the match, Sammy and Gable go and talk about strategy.
Yep.
So, I don't know. Maybe you'll give him some good tips. So
I think for me to go from, the beginning segment to the match to the end segment, like for me, right, it's 3.75, man. Like we there, like we hitting on all cylinders, man. Like no doubt.
Yeah. Yeah. No, like it especially because we expected Gable to have that spot and that they just made this story with Sammy and it's just gelling so well.
I ain't mad at it.
Me either.
No, no, no. So I'm a fan of Bronson Reed too. So happy he went over. I would like him to win more.
Yeah, so would I. And look, we know what the change of WrestleMania, everything changes.
Gable wasn't feeling very oozy.
Probably not. So yeah, then we get the main event. We get Jimmy.
Sorry, before we get hop, we gotta talk about this too, because ever since Gable lost, have you guys noticed like the shift in like his character?
Yeah.
Because he went from this whole like, thank you, to all of a sudden he's just like, you can't beat him.
And right.
It's almost like it's almost like watching Rocky's wife in Rocky's 3. You know what I mean? He's like,
yes.
What is wrong with you, Rock? He's like, I'm scared. Okay. I said I'm scared. Like, that's
that's the perfect him. Way to describe that, actually.
Kinda, yeah. Like it's actually perfect. Like Gable's
he's a lot Adrian. More I was just, okay. Now I'm gonna put it out there. I'm gonna be disappointed if it doesn't happen. But if when Sammy wins, if he doesn't get that title and say, yo, Gable, I did it. I'm gonna be pissed. The same. Right, angry dog will be back.
All right, we're putting it out in the ether. Sammy, I know you're watching. I know you're gonna hear about it. You gotta do it for us. For us here in the somebody clipping this. We appreciate it. But yeah, so we got the main event. This was set up. I know it led to this was a setup. I don't care what nobody says. Before Jay goes out there, he runs into Sokola.
That's a new one.
Sokola.
When did he get
Sokola is what you were drinking.
That was. Shit. I didn't have to drink that anymore. Well, not gonna be drinking this anymore. Obviously it's messing with me. Jimmy. And they got that little stare down. Jimmy goes out there. Him and Nakamura put on a banger. Let's just put that out there. Like, even though we know that the end segment and everything towards the end was like the meat and potatoes of the main event, but let's not take it away from Nakamura and Jay. They killed it.
This was cool seeing like Jimmy and Solo come out. Like you kind of expected them to come out, but it was also cool seeing like Cody and Seth come out to kind of back Jay up.
Yep.
And Drew comes out and hits the Future Shock DDT on Seth, leading to Cody being by himself backstage.
Yep. So he takes Jimmy backstage. I know what Rollins got Solo over the barricade.
Yeah.
And then Drew comes out, Future Shock DDT. Both men are down. Seth's out. So he's not a worry. And then Jay finishes his business and super kicks the crap out of Nakamura and then hits him with a spear, 1, 2, 3. And then we get to the back. And this is where we go back to 1997. 98. we went back in time.
Talking to Paul Heyman backstage.
Oh yeah. I forgot about that. You're right. Yeah. During the New Day and DIY backstage promo, you got a nice little look of Heyman and Drew talking backstage. That right there even made it more official that something ain't right. And I feel like the Bloodline played this one beautifully. This was a setup. They took out Seth, and Jay was just in the ring and not knowing what was going on.
Yep.
And you got Cody. He tosses Jimmy out the outside. Solo comes and attacks. He's taking care of Solo. And then out comes the final boss.
With a horrid ass vest.
Oh, God. That thing is so ugly. Bruh. Did you see the print? You see the product placement for Cody's vodka?
Yeah.
No, I didn't.
So they're going through the back door, right?
Yeah.
And he opens the door and right there's the bus. Cody's bus. And it's a big ass like thing for Wheatley Vodka. It's big ass advertisement. It's like perfect. The way he's got the door, you can see the whole thing. It's like perfect advertisement. It's almost like Rock was like, "Yeah, I support this."
It's almost they both have their own alcoholic beverage.
Yes, I've tried both, and both are excellent.
I don't drink, so
if you like vodka, go ahead.
I don't drink potatoes. It's disgusting. Tequila is all for me. That's why Terramon is my choice.
That tequila is better. I ain't gonna lie.
I will trust both of your decisions.
Now, Tiki Elliott is way better. That's how I got my son. But anyway,
hey, moving yo.
On. Moving on. But yeah, no, Rock proceeded to beat this man down like he stole a cookie from him.
Man. Kurt caught the hands like he went to the graveyard where his family is buried and just took a giant shit right on their grave. Like,
recorded it and put it all on social media. Like, oh you would, dude, he was so disrespectful.
Bruh. The way he looked at Cody and was like, boy.
Right? I felt offended.
Yo, like, man. Holy shit.
You want to talk about feeling like you should pay somebody's debt for them just to stop this.
Right?
I felt like Ralphie.
Stop beating him.
I felt like Ralphie in The Simpsons. Like, yeah. He's already dead. Stop it.
He beat the tar out of Cody. And you know what? I feel like that needed to happen. Yeah. I feel like it was... Everything that's leading up to it, the smacks, the disrespects, talking about each other's mamas, talking about people's families, stealing spots for WrestleMania, calling people out, bitches and whores and all. They call damn near each other everything.
And yet here it is, still Cody being the one week in and week out that gets the dog shit beat out of it.
I know. Hey, you know what? You know what Cody's going to have to do? He's just going to have to show up to NXT and just beat up on Simone. Like, he got to take it to that next level, man. Like, I'm sorry. Like, it has to happen. Like, I condemn those kind of things, right? I'm not condoning it. But, yo, I mean, he's talked about, like, Rock has talked about his mom. He just put that blood of his, like, all over that belt. Said he's going to put his mom's tears on it, too. Like, yo, I just feel like, hey, yo, Cody's got to walk up and just look at Simone right in the face. No questions, nothing that. Just walk off. Like, just one.
Just one. You're like, you know why this is happening.
You know why. And you know why. I know your name's Ava, but you know why.
Shoot, we got family involved. You might as well. But so
both of you and your dad are bosses. I could only hit you.
Right? So it ended with a bloody Cody, him holding that weight belt, and just calling Mama Rhodes or Mama Rhodes. Like, I felt so bad for Cody. I feel bad for wanting Cody to lose at WrestleMania. Like, I think I might have to change my prediction when we do. Because I've been on this whole thing about Cody losing, and it's for selfish reasons. It's for pure selfish reasons. It's kind of evil. I kind of just want to see everybody's face in the arena and the air just get sucked out of that place.
There might be a legitimate riot.
Oh, that's what I'm saying. You know it is. You know it is.
I mean, you know what? No better place to riot in than Philly.
Exactly.
Like, win or lose, man, those Eagles fans, like, they tear up their own town. So
yeah, they do.
Just imagine, like, a bunch of wrestling fans, too, with the Eagles fans. Especially, like, imagine if, like, the Phillies are playing, like, in Philadelphia and they lose. Bruh.
Ooh.
Night two of WrestleMania and the Phillies losing? Bruh.
Right? That's going to be a rough weekend. It probably will. And so that's why I want Cody to lose.
So the city of Philadelphia burns?
Not in a bad way, in a good way.
I want so much heat that bell of theirs fixes itself.
Right.
I definitely thought.
So
if he would have threw him off of that bridge.
I thought he was going to. I was like, no, don't toss him over. You're getting close.
I kind of wanted to see it.
Don't beat up Simone.
Nope. Everybody gets it.
Everybody getting y'all got you gotta tweet it and retag, yeah, tag her in it. Yeah. When Undertaker lost it. Yeah,
that's how I feel what's gonna happen. We got the idols going to WrestleMania, and I gave him some word of advice because he told me, because I put it out there in the ether, that he wasn't gonna talk to me for like a week. We might have to reevaluate our friendship. But I was like, look, I get it. I'll let you have that one. But promise me that if it happens, as soon as that three count hits, y'all dip.
Yeah.
Like, don't wait around because everybody's going to be in shock. They're not going to believe it. You got time to run to the car and dip.
Get your Uber and go.
Right? Just go. Just go. Don't ask.
You better call your Uber the moment that finish starts to go down.
Once you see the thumb. I don't care if he kicked out. Just leave.
Right? Yeah. Just go watch it on Peacock later. Your hotel room.
Watch it on Peacock while you're running out.
Right? I was just about to say that.
Hey, I do want to touch on this comment though. It was one that got left to us a little while ago, but I just don't want to hit it back. So the problem is that there's too many and E that are all the same with Otis, Ivar, and Reed. So it's hard to stand out unless you do something better than the rest. So we're talking about Bronson Reed and his, like, just, you know, the difference between everybody. And I think what's so cool about what's going on with Raw right now is that, let's say Sammy does win, now he has like a whole feast of people that he has to challenge against. Yep. So, I mean, and also to touch back with these three names in particular, like, they all three stand out on their own anyway. Like, yeah, Bronson is obviously different. The biggest dude. Ivar is just super agile. And then Otis, man, he's Otis. He's a lovable clown. Like,
also a gem.
Yeah.
I love me some Otis. That man has me dying.
What do you think would happen if Cody wins and Priest cashes in on him? Billy Burns.
Billy Burns.
The financial stadium will never be the same again. Just benches ripped out.
At the end of the day, if Cody's gonna win, you need to let him win hands down. Just don't fuck with it. Just don't. Nope. Just let it go.
Cash in on Seth.
Like, exactly.
I would rather see him cash in on Seth or Drew, like Seth did at WrestleMania. Against Roman and Lesnar.
Yeah, I'd rather see that than him to try to cash in on Roman and Cody. He doesn't need that. He needs to stay on Raw. So,
or he does cash in, like, in the main event, and then he eats the pin. And you know how many people will be pissed?
Oh! Roman pins him.
Because then, at that point, hey, what did you just do? Cody goes over. Right, Priest takes a loss, and Roman still looks strong.
Yeah,
so the tribal chief never lost the title.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, damn. Yeah, I didn't even think about that.
Oh, that'd be nuts. Oh, people be so mad. People be so mad.
That literally just blew my mind.
Oh, so that match, that main event match. Like I said, I give it 3.5. Add that segment, it's a 5.
Yeah.
If you add this closing segment, yeah, it's a solid 5.
Yeah, it's a solid 5 for me. What did you think, Claire?
Yeah, no, I agree. 5. Just it was a perfect way to close the show out.
Yeah, I think all around the show was a 5. I ain't gonna lie. It was perfection from beginning to end.
4 to 4.5 for me.
The way that they booked it. Like I said, for me, it's been a long time since I was like, shit, I want to watch some more Raw.
Well, like, that's what I was talking about on the debate show on Sunday. It was like, it just seems like Raw and SmackDown have just been, and NXT, full transparency, have just been hitting on all cylinders right now. And it's just, you know, Hunter is booking for his life. Right,
yeah, he is. Yes, he is. Like, he's like booking, like, he's getting ready to get fired tomorrow.
Paul's like, set up the future. Set up the future now. Set it up. Let's go.
One more day. One more day. One more day.
Book this match and this match and this match. And this match. Let's get this ratings going up. And then, you know, they can't get rid of me. They can't get rid of me.
I know Raw did solid ratings. I think it was like number two overall for the night next to the women's basketball, which is pretty cool because, you know, sports period all around usually do great numbers, no matter what it is. They do great numbers, great in the demo. So the fact that Raw could come in number two for the night, that's pretty fucking impressive. I think I know they averaged probably just under 2 million, I want to say. Hats off to WWE. Monday Night Raw, 11th sold out show.
Crazy.
I mean, wow. I know, it's crazy. Between both Raw and SmackDown, 11 shows sold out. Back to back. AEW wasn't doing that great. I heard their attendance weren't that great. So I guess we can go into Dynamite and talk about their attendance and people being late, too, as well.
We can talk about that. real quick, jump into this. Dumbass of the Week, Goldberg, Asuka, really? Yeah. We talked about that on the show.
We did, actually. Yeah, we did. we totally talked
about that. He did win Dumbass of the Week.
Yes, he was. Yeah.
That was a thing. That was the thing that happened.
A thing.
Let's see. Here we go. SmackDown was fire. Raw was fire. NXT was fire. Wrestling has been good. You know what? And I'll throw this out there too. Dynamite and Rampage last week were good. I didn't think they were like amazing. But I thought they were good. And then it's a nice appetite. What do they call it? Just a nice cleanser. And then this week's Dynamite was actually. I like it too.
I saw like bits and pieces of this week's Dynamite. Like, I didn't really watch. I saw like clips, especially the opening match. See, I don't know why. It's like every time I watch an opening match of Dynamite, like legitimately watch it, they always piss me off. So I'm scared to watch Dynamite. Well, and then I know. And then like Dynamite started off with fucking Offspring and Shibata. Yeah. And I was like, and I was scared to watch it like completely through. So, like, only saw clips.
Nah. So. Match all around was fire. Hold on. I'm gonna go back lawsuits. The Raw after WrestleMania is going to be nuts, like always. You know what? I hope it is. Because the last couple years has been trash.
It 100%. Has. They haven't been that great like they should be. And I blame Vince for that one.
Yeah. Oldberg.
Yeah, he's definitely old as fuck.
Here we go. Yeah, I've been watching more AEW lately. And then Dark Lord turns AEW to see Jericho.
Let's talk about it. I thought we were cool.
Opening match for Dynamite was Will Ospreay versus Shibata. Hard hitting match. A lot of fun going down. Definitely highly recommend. If you guys get a chance, you go check out this match. It was definitely important. And it was good. It told a great story too, because it was just like Ospreay said last week that the last time he was in the ring with Shibata beat him. So,
was pretty cool that Ospreay was able to get the victory.
Yeah,
I gotta see. I want to see them run it back one more time.
Yeah, I definitely need a third one. Yeah. Also, we'll talk about the tardiness issues that were going on with AEW because after this match, the Bucks showed up and they talked to Renee. Then they left. They talked about how their other member was going to be showing up, which later in the show, we saw a red Ferrari pull up and then Okada came out of said red Ferrari, which I was like, can't even hate on this man because that was and he came out with the title. He sat with the title right next to him too. So he just pulls the title out. He walks out. I was like, okay, that's what we're going to do. And then later in the night, right before she jumped on the commentary, Mercedes Moné had just pulled up in the Escalade, just jumps out and then just like walks. I was like, yo, there's a tardy issue going on here and no one's discussing it. No one's getting fined, right? Except for the poor extras who Matthew and Nicholas decide to fine. Like, you didn't fine Okada. You didn't fine Moné, right? You just fine poor Sam just for his beer.
Poor Billy Bob just got fined.
I was just in the bathroom.
Hey, yo. And then, like, the funny thing was, is like, Matthew said this line right at the end of it, right when they got done with the interview. They looked at Renee and said, like, you know, Renee, great job. You did a really great job. One minor note, you should smile more. And just say, like, good job. And then, like, gave her a fist pound and just, like, walked off. I was like, yo, what a shitty boss, bro. Like, I hate this man.
That was so 80s of them. I hate them so much, though. I want to like them, but they just, yeah. I don't know what it's the face. It's their faces. I'm looking at their faces right now, and it's their fucking faces. I just want to punch them. That's what it is. I just want to punch them in the fucking face.
We did have the AEW World Tag Team Championship Tournament qualifier match, which was, they announced the brackets, too, so there's a lot of good squads, you know. But this one was the Young Bucks versus Private Party. And in this match, it was a fire match. It was great. We even had some callbacks to certain parts of matches. It was the Young Bucks going over Private Party.
As there should, because what, the second episode of Dynamite, Private Party went over on the Bucks in a surprise victory. Yeah. I did hear a lot of good stuff about this match, that they were playing into the part of Private Party pulling up that upset win. So a lot of back and forth. Look, like I said, y'all know how I feel about the Elite. I've never said that they can't go. I've never said that they're not talented. They're just not my cup of tea.
Facts.
And I mean,
yeah. And like, I've never said that they don't deserve where they're at. And sometimes I'll see some things where I'm like, okay, that kind of reminds me of when I actually liked you guys before you became the Bucks. See, I liked them when they were Generation Me.
I liked them before they became bad 90s Coke dealers.
They do look like now, don't they?
They do. Like,
they look like Scarface Light.
They've been in Miami for far too long. Florida has messed them up.
I just feel like they're like pretending to be Scarface, but they live in Jacksonville, so they can't really get the accent down. So they're just like, "Say hello to my little friend." I hope they hear that. You know what? I'm gonna clip that. I'm gonna post that up. I hope you hear that, Matthew, and Nicholas. I hope you hear that. You know, I know that I probably won't be working for AEW, and I'll apply, but I'll probably get denied. But nonetheless, I hope one time you just say it on the screen. Just look at the screen, look at the camera, just like I'm doing right now. You just look at him, you just like, say hello to my little friend. And then deliver a super kick.
Oh, shit.
That's what I want.
Oh, that's great.
That will be the greatest wrestling moment ever if that happens after this.
I mean, he's right. I know I won't be getting a job there at all. I won't even be invited backstage.
No.
Sorry. So I forgot. Right. So four handles for Ospreay and Shibata. Right. I did forget this match. Right. And I forgot. And I just happened to look over it. Takeshita wrestled Swerve.
Yeah,
that match was fire. I got to see
most of that. Because I like watching Swerve. I just like watching Swerve. I don't care where he's at. I enjoy watching Swerve.
Swerve is
so good. I can actually rate that one. I'm gonna give that one like 3.5 because
I'm not gonna front because I'm a Swerve fan, so I'm giving it 5. It's 5.
I'm a solid 4 on this. I haven't finished watching that match, but from what I've seen, man, it's just fire from beginning to what I'm assuming is the end.
Yeah.
So what, they're going back and forth about?
So we're talking about, I'll put it back up here, right? So okay. Can you punch them both in the face like the same time like KO? So we're talking about the Bucks.
Yeah.
Why can't anyone book Black Alistair? Right, Malachi.
I don't know. Malachi Black. I don't like what they're doing with the House of Black.
No.
I feel like they could be doing so much more. You know what I mean? Like,
I think he's on his way out.
Potential to be badass.
Yeah, but I think he's on his way out. I think that's why they're not utilizing him.
That's what I thought, too. But
same.
I liked him in WWE, and I liked him in the indies when he was Tommy End. I really hope they either get it together with him or just, or, you know,
let him go.
Yeah.
Like the group in itself has so much potential. Like,
hell yeah.
Like all four of them. I'm going to put Julia in there too.
Okay. Yeah.
Like all four of them have a really cool chemistry. They have a great fucking look. They got a big, strong beast of a monster. They have a psychopath, like, little buff guy. And then you got the mastermind. And then you got the crazy female up in there. The crazy demonic female up in there. And, like, they just... God, it's got so much potential to be so much better than what they're being presented.
Yeah.
It's almost like they don't know what to fucking do with them. And it's sad because...
It really is.
Like, Alex great Black is, or Malakai Black is just... Dude, I loved him when he was Tommy End.
I'm just saying that what the problem though is that, you know, then we'll hop back in and we'll talk about the rest of the results. My problem is, and we were talking about this right before we went on the air, it's just AEW is just bloated, man. Like the roster is just, it's got such a lot of great talent in it, but it's like you can't put everybody everywhere. And some things you'll do for a Rampage. Obviously, you have Collision, but obviously right now, like with March Madness, you just lost an extra show, so you don't even get that show.
Yeah.
So it's just it's tough to be able to put everybody in these places and get them to take off, right? I'm just it's beyond me. Like
they're having
like I was saying, is when do you say enough is enough?
They're having the same problem WWE had about 5-6 years ago,
yeah,
or a little bit longer. Where he's collecting too many action figures and he doesn't want to let anybody go. But he's also got the freedom there to go and do other shit if they're not on TV, but that doesn't help him.
Right. Because he wants to be on TV. He just, you can tell he wants to be there, but it's almost like they're not trying to use. It's him. And I know he's out with injury right now, but like Keith Lee, you know what I mean? Like he's just missing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I know he's another one. He's got knee problems, I know, but it's just like, come on, man. Like
Miro.
Yeah.
Miro is like, to me, Miro is like the most underrated is the most undervalued person right now on that entire roster.
Yes.
Like they brought him on, they had him run that match with Andrade, and then Andrade loses, you know, and that's it. You don't see Miro again. Like
Miro is one of those guys that I feel like they should either strap a fucking rocket to him. Or like I said with Malakai Black, let him go.
Yeah.
I feel like they didn't use Miro right since he stepped foot in there.
Yeah.
Yep. He goes back to the E. You know, he's back there as Rusev, or they can bring him back as Miro.
Yeah.
And they can either way. Because look at what they're doing with Sean Spears right now. Like Sean Spears on NXT,
it's amazing.
It's amazing. I, you know, and not saying that I didn't like Ty Dillinger, right? It's just Sean Spears is a different character, right? And he's not the perfect 10, you know. He's just a dude that's like trying to bring out the violence in people. And I love seeing that. Like I don't have a problem with it.
That match he had was fucking amazing with what's the name? Ridge Holland.
We gotta talk about with NXT too. I'm gonna hop into it.
No, we're gonna do the NXT on Saturday.
Okay. So let's talk about number one contenders match, four-way for the TBS Championship, right? So Chris Statlander, Sky Blue, Anna Jay, and Willow Nightingale. This was right before this segment. This is where Mercedes pulled up and walked out. So mind you, this is in the second hour. Like, so she's an hour late, right? Above whatever call time is. She's an hour into the show. She walks down. She has a problem with tardiness, but she looked great in this pink outfit. I ain't gonna front with it. I'm just keep 100.
She looked amazing.
Yeah. But big shout outs to Willow Nightingale for winning this match.
Nice. Right?
Nice. Now she'll be challenging Julia for that title, and we'll get to see her do her thing. So, you know,
cool. Congratulations, Willow. You deserve that one.
Hell yeah. Big fan of hers, and obviously, you know, friend of the show too. Then in the last match, the main event of the night, we had another tag team qualifier match. This was the Best Friends versus the Undisputed Kingdom. I'm gonna be honest, man. That last match too, by the way. 3.5 axes. I'm gonna be honest. This was a good match. I'm gonna put this. Let me start this off. This was a good match. My problem is that you have the ROH tag team champions in this tournament, and then they lose.
Right.
And so you have the best friends go over. I don't have a problem with best friends winning. I just think there should have been another team in there to take the L and not them.
Like, agreed.
For a division that you – and I understand, right? We couldn't get Mox is injured, apparently. Yeah. And so you don't have – and Claudio didn't have a tag partner, which it's the BCC. You could always have Wheeler Yuta, like, in with Claudio, and then the next week or whenever Mox is recovered, he can come in, he can take over, and he can run that spot. He can run with the tag team. But it's like – you have the ROH championships in this tournament, and then that team loses. So what does that say about them comparative to everybody else? Because now if best friends lose next week because they're facing the Young Bucks, right? If they lose to the Bucks, now it's like, oh, okay, so not only are they not good enough to beat the best friends, they're not even going to be good enough to beat the Bucks, you know? So what does that do to the faction itself that's being featured so heavily on Dynamite, especially when you had, you know, Wardlow just trying to compete after the championship, the AEW championship, right. You know, Adam Cole's coming back. You have the international title on Roderick, right? So you have this gold over here on these guys, and then you have them losing to the best friends. Like, what does that really do for them? And that's my problem.
Nothing. It kind of shits on the group, in my opinion. It makes them look soft.
Yeah, to agree with you, it makes it soft. You have all this gold, like you said, and you can't even knock off teams that you should have run through, that we've seen you run through.
I mean, don't get me wrong. You know, I'm not a big Cassidy fan, but Cassidy is not somebody that they could technically run through just because of how he's been presented. And. Right. I love Trent. I'm not a fan of the best friends, but I like Trent. Like, Trent is a solid, like, great wrestler.
Yeah.
So they did have their work cut out for them, but at the end of the day, the Undisputed Kingdom also had Roddy in their corner, didn't they?
Yeah.
And still couldn't pick up the victory.
Still couldn't pick up the victory. She's the CEO. She's never late. She's everyone is simply
simply early.
Yeah, Willow. Big shout outs. Yeah, and so many good talent out with injuries in AEW. That's true. But yeah, that goes back to the problem though. It's like you booked him in this situation. You didn't have to book this team in there. You know what I mean? Like you have other teams. You could have had Top Flight. Top Flight could have taken the L.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And it wouldn't have hurt them.
No, because, you know, you could be like, well, it's just on. You have the boys. Let's be real. Like, Dalton Castle doesn't even have the boys anymore. You have the boys running up against with Tay and Johnny TV. They could have had them, right? They could have been up there, and they could have lost. And then it still doesn't do anything. It doesn't hurt the boys.
No.
You know, and it doesn't ruin the ROH championships. Like, I feel like I kind of took a step back for them. So I'm like, they're... You had opportunities to do other things with this, and you chose and I get it. You do want to feature the best talents that you have on the roster, but then you also have to kind of think about, like, story-wise, like, long-term, right? Like, if they lose, what does this do for those titles? Because then you can play on the other side of things, right? Let's just say the Bucks win the AEW championships and whoever they drop them to, right? Then you can have the Undisputed Kingdom lose those titles, right? And then just go, well, you know, the reason why we didn't win the AEW titles is because we wasn't in that tournament. But now you don't have that excuse. You're like, well, you lost to the best friends who lost to this team. So you really are in the back of the line. You got to work your way to the top. And it's like, nah, they shouldn't have to be able to do that. They should have been able to jump the line and be like, nah, we in this tournament because you guys didn't even consider us.
Right. But so I guess that was Dynamite. It seemed like it was a pretty decent, solid show.
You know, 3.5.
That's good, good, good. Because I usually don't try to rate AEW because I don't pay attention like I should. and I'm always honest about that. But I do give you guys the results anyway, because it's
wrestling.
Exactly. It's wrestling. Like I said, I ain't gotta like it, but it's wrestling, and I don't want it to go, and I don't want Planned Parenthood to go anywhere. They're good for business. So I want them to keep up the good work. I know their attendance is still down, which is not good. I hope they can figure this out. I saw the picture from Dynamite last night. Was it last night, right?
Yeah.
They did not have the crowd like they should have. It looked like, what, a quarter? No, it was a little bit over a quarter of the arena was blanked off.
Yeah.
I honestly kind of agree. I think I heard this. They need to do something a little bit smaller and intimate. I think it would be great for them.
That's what they used to do.
Yeah, I know. I don't know.
Tony Khan got more people employed than he does fans in attendance. So I agree with you on that. Maybe the smaller venues are something that could benefit them.
Save them some money.
Well, he
says that the reason he uses the bigger arenas is because of advertising.
I get that.
And I get it, but it's like, but obviously the advertising is not working because it's not filling your building.
Right.
So like, do yourself a solid. Like, I'm not talking about like, you know, 200 people. Like, it looks like you can easily fit 3,000 to 4,000 people in our arena. Like a small arena, and do great, and it'll look great, it'll sound great, and I think once you do that, and people are like, oh, okay, and then you can slowly start getting back up to your big arenas. I mean, your pay-per-views do fine. They usually sell those out. It's the weekly shows. They're not doing as good as they should. So, Tony. Just please go to the smaller arenas, please. Don't
follow in TNA's footsteps.
Go to the township ad.
If they're not careful, they're going to be following in WCW's footsteps.
I don't think that's the case.
They're going to do a buy one, get one free on a four-night back-to-back-to-back main eventer.
Well, I mean, they did something similar to that. I can't remember. I think it was – I can't remember where exactly it was. You know what? I think it was here in Salt Lake, actually. So there was this burger joint in Salt Lake, and if you basically sat down and you ordered, like, everybody at the table ordered cheeseburgers, you got a free ticket to the show.
Oh, wow. Mm.
With your burger. It's like you can't do that, guys. Like, I mean, it is already starting to slowly do that. I mean, they're already on the channels that WCW was on. They added new show like WCW did.
If that's the case and we're going down that route, then what about NXT sending me free tickets every single week?
But they can do that, though. You know why? Because they sold the rights to their shit and they don't need to make that money. That's the thing. That's the difference between NXT. They can go out and do their pay-per-views or PLEs and make money off of that. I know they're slowly starting to get ready to do like a little bit of like loops. You know, for like house shows and stuff like that. So like, they don't have to. That's the thing. They don't have to. Them doing what they're doing is just getting that crew. And when I say that crew, I'm talking about, I don't know. Like, I feel like everybody that's involved with NXT, like the producers, the camera people, all of that are like people that they're training to do the shit the right way. So they can move them up to the big show.
Or they're a bunch of college kids trying to get college credits.
That too, that's smart. I want to do that.
Yeah.
That's what I want to do with our production crew, is get a bunch of college kids in college that need credits.
Yep, then you teach them how you want to do it, and then you let them intern, and that's it. Like, that's all it is. You just go, hey. College again. Hey, yo, Greg, come over here and push this button every 5 seconds. No, right? Not every three, because you're going to burn somebody. Every five. Just set off the fireworks. Why do we have pyro in this building? It's so flammable. All right, you're right. Just hit this button and it's going to shoot off lights.
All right. Well, that right there is the Villains Lounge. You got all the way to the end. Actually, we did pretty goddamn good. Not bad. Look, we're under that 1 hour and 41 minutes that we did the last time. So that just makes me happy every fucking time that we get under that.
To be fair, that was also 20 minutes of you trying to figure out which AEW show you had to review.
You're right. It was. Because I was screwing that. I started. I looked at it and I was like, I already saw this match. This is the one that made me mad. And then it took me another 10, 15 minutes to find it. But anyway, thank you again. Thank you, Red Dog. Thank you, Twitch.
Always.
We will be back. I guess it depends on what happens tomorrow, because then I got to do TNA. But we'll definitely be back on Saturday. It'll be myself, Chris Idol, and Twitch, and we'll be bringing you the NXT review and the SmackDown review, and then anything else in between I decide I want to talk about. And whatever news is happening that day. So with that being said, see you guys later.
What's going on? It is Clipper Red Dog, the man that leads you up that mountain called wrestling. And what we need from you guys is just kind of show some support, right? We want you guys to go to our YouTube channel at the 3Count Podcast, go on to our Twitch channel, 3Count Pod, or even our Facebook page, 3Count Podcast, and just give us a like, follow, subscribe, even give us a comment, right? Do all that cool stuff. Share it with your friends, share it with your family, share it with your enemies, right? Or you can even come talk to us and just chat us up, right? Find us on Twitter at 3Count_Pod. Find us on IG and on TikTok at 3Count Pod. Go ahead and leave us those comments. We want to hear from all of you guys. We're going to keep putting on videos and stuff like that. We want to keep making this content better, so we want your guys' support. Also, if you guys want to, go support us at prowrestlingtees.com/the3countpodcast, or even find us on foryourwear.com. Give us a support. Show us your guys' love, because we want to give it right back to y'all. So, in the meantime, love y'all.